week I don't have an umbrella. I don't have an umbrella? No one has an umbrella? I have some umbrellas.
It's not mine, though.
Whose is it?
Josh Klein.
Oh, okay.
He gave it to me last night.
Very nice.
Because it was raining last night.
A good chader. Okay, Sichas Haran Os Pei. Very short piece. Tiny piece. Bnei Adam yesh lahem koach limnoa ulahasis as ha'adam l'rachako me'avodas haborei umitzadike emes yoser min ha'yetzer hara. Bnei Adam, people have the ability, have the koach, have the energy, the possibility. Limnoa ulahasis. Limnoa means to restrain or to hold back, right? Mnia, we had the word mnia yesterday, a blockage. So a person can create an obstacle, ulahasis. Hasasa means like seduction. And to seduce a person away, larachko me'avodas habore, umitzadike emes, to pull a person away from avodas Hashem and from drawing close to holy people, yoser mena yetzahara. More than the yetzahara. Hanging out with a friend who's not a good friend, hanging out with people who are a negative influence in your life, can actually get you to do bigger averos than your Yetzirah can get you to do. Things that your Yetzirah would never be able to convince you to do, that you're with the wrong chevron, they're like, come on, let's go do that. Not for me. Come on, who cares? So it's unbelievable that people have a koach to drag someone else away from the emes of avodas Hashem, more so than the Yetzirah. Why? Why is that so? And we know it's true, right? Anyone think it's not true? Anyone disagree? I'm asking seriously. I'm not asking rhetorically. Does anyone disagree? I think it's true. Yeah?
I mean, I feel like it depends what. Like, if it's like a personal, like, type of type thing, then, like, your friends, like, how do we know which is worse?
Right.
Like, it could be
that, right. It just means that sometimes peer pressure, I think that's Rabbeinu's point, sometimes the right. Peer pressure, right, is harder to refuse than it is the Yetzirah.
But the very peer pressure could be way less.
Yeah, true. There's no question there are things, again, there are things in each category, right? But to just contemplate the fact that there are people and the influence of people can be more spiritually damaging to me than my own Yetzirah, and to be guarded in that way, and to realize there's certain people who may have once been good friends who I can't be friends with in the same way anymore. And that's a hard thing. Again, that's part of the religious anxiety we were talking about yesterday, you know? Being able to move past certain things or to address certain things. It's hard. That's a hard thing. That's a very hard thing. Or you have a friend who is a frum guy, but he doesn't believe in the same tzaddikim that you believe in. You can have a friend who makes fun of Rabbi Nachman. Oh, Breslovers, they're so weird, they're so strange. Right? And that'll move you away from a tzaddik emes, if you believe that Rabbi Nachman's a tzaddik emes, which I do. So if you're around someone who's cynical and critical of that, you may say, you know what? Yeah, Breslov's too weird, in my opinion. That would be very damaging to your spiritual growth, to lose out on such a thing. So again, we have to be aware that the seduction and the and the restraint that sometimes is put upon a person by a friend or by another human being could be even more damaging. It doesn't have to even be a friend. It could just be the influence of society. Mordechai Gifter said about a conversation that took place between his two uncles. You've heard of Mordechai Gifter? Excuse me. Mordechai Gifter from Telz, great Rosh Hashiva from Telz.
MTA graduate.
MTA, yeah, that's right. Born in Virginia, traveled, can you imagine? Just like such a crazy, Rav Gifter's personal story is such a crazy story. A kid born in, what's it called? Portsmouth, Virginia? Travels by boat to Telz. Not like Telz Riverdale, Telz Lithuania. Can you imagine? Max Gifter. Rav Mordechai Gifter. Actually became deeply connected in terms of his learning and through marriage with the family, became the Rosh Hashiva. You know, it's like Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel's story, Nady Finkel. You know, Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel goes from Chicago to Eretz Yisrael and becomes the Rosh Hashiva, the Mir Yeshiva. It's mamish, an unbelievable story. So Rav Gifter once said about his two uncles. Rav Gifter's, one of his uncles was Rav Elia Meir Bloch, and the other one was Rav Matal Katz. Two of the great Torah personalities from Telz. So he said he overheard them having a conversation one time. They were talking about the hashpa of America, the influence of America. One of them said to the other, He said, Baruch Hashem, you know, we've been in America for some time. Again, the story of how Telz was decimated during the war. During World War II, Telz was horrific korban. But some of the personalities from Telz, Rav Elie Meir Bloch and Rav Matal Katz, were in America fundraising at the time. They basically got locked out of Europe. Baruch Hashem, it saved their life. And they rebuilt Telz in America, which is an unbelievable story in and of itself. But they were talking about what it was like in America, coming from the world of Telz, you know, to America. So Rav Gifter said, his two uncles were talking one time, one of them said to the other, when I read the story, it doesn't say who said to who, but one of them said to the other, Rav Bloch to Rav Katz, Rav Katz to Rav Bloch, said, you know, we've been in America for some time, and Baruch Hashem, we can say that the culture in America hasn't affected us. Baruch Hashem. So the other one said back to him, it's amazing to see to what degree society can affect a person. In other words, you're saying to him, you think you're not affected, that's the biggest raya that you're affected. The fact that you think that like this is normal, the fact that like you're like, well, we're doing fine. The fact that that's the hasasa that Rabbi Nachman was talking about. The seduction, the subtle way that things creep into our life. So he said, I'm telling you, trust me, we're also affected by it. Don't pretend we're not. If you think you're not affected, that's a scary thought. We're all affected by our surroundings. We're all affected by our surroundings. Shlomo Freifeld used to like to talk about the concept of intoxication by association. Right? Inebriation by association. You walk into a room of people who are drunk, right? And a person starts to act drunk. You talk like a person who's drunk. You act like a person who's drunk. It's not even just trying to fit in. It's that something happens in your psyche when you're around people who have been drinking, right? That it has a chemical reaction in your brain. And you start to act like those people. Even if you've touched zero alcohol. It's a crazy thing, the power of hashpa. Okay? So we have to realize that even more deceptive sometimes and even more damaging than the Yetzirah is to us, our friends, people around us, influences in society, etc., can be even more destructive in my relationship with my Avodas Hashem and with my connection to Tzaddikim. Ki ha-Yetzirah ein lo yecholes rak kefi kocho. Because the Yetzirah has to work within his means, within his abilities. Kefi b'chinas ha-Yetzirah me'eza olam shehu. Yetzirah operates in different realms, in different worlds. And so the Yetzirah has to play by the rules. The Yetzirah has rules that he has to play by. The Yetzirah of Tav Shin Pei Beis is different than the Yetzirah of Tav Kuf, I don't know, hundreds of years ago. Right? There's different Yetzirah in different worlds. Happens to be we're living in a time where the Yetzirah is particularly out of control, and that's the rules that he's allowed to play by. But Moshe Wolfson says, Gemara says in Brachos that Malchusa da'ara ke'in Malchusa da'rakia. Which means that the kingdom on earth follows the kingdom in Shemayim and vice versa. There's a relationship between the way that the Melech up top runs the show and the way that Malchus, the way that government functions down below. So Moshe Wolfson said, we know from the Gemara in Sukkah that right before, when it's time to put an end to the Yetzirah, the Gemara talks about shechting the Yetzirah. We spoke about it the other week. We read that piece about why shechting, right? Samach mem, aleph, and lamed. You take the good part out of the Yetzirah. But we talk about shechting the Yetzirah. Hashem's going to shech the Yetzirah in the presence of Tzaddikim, in the presence of Rishon. Hashem's going to put an end to the Yetzirah. That's what happens when Mashiach comes. So Rav Moshe Wolfson Shlita said that if we believe that Mashiach is right around the corner, that means the Yetzirah is sort of on death row. You know, he has his execution date already scheduled. He's moments before he's going to be executed. If Mashiach comes today, this is it. The Yetzirah will be shechted today. He'll be executed today. So there's a concept, Rav Wolfson said, again, I don't know how exactly it works or to what degree it's true in our world today exactly, but there's a concept, maybe someone can elaborate on it, there's a concept that when a person is going to be put to death, right, so there are certain privileges that the person is given before they kill him. I'm talking about a person who deserves to be put to death. The court has determined this person needs to die because he's such a danger to society. But they let him make, you know, a phone call to a loved one one last time, or the last meal, right? Whatever that Indian is. Right? There's this Indian of like the last hurrah before we take a human being out of this world, even a human being who's a Rasha. So Rav Wolfson once explained, he said the same thing's true by the Yetzirah. Yetzirah is about to be executed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Yetzirah kind of his last, you know, bit of fun before he gets executed. Rav Wolfson used that to explain why the Yetzirah today is able to do certain things, to convince us of certain things, and to infiltrate our lives in ways that traditionally he wasn't able to do so. He was saying it in terms of the hashpa in the Jewish home. It used to be that the Jewish home was sort of like the safe haven, and like the streets were dangerous. In the streets, they try to convince you to join the maskilim or give up yeshiva or stop keeping Shabbos or, you know. But the home was that place of emunah. And now, the influence is in our home, in our pockets, all around us. There's no escaping. So we have to just be aware of what these realities are. So the Yetzer Hara, right, even though the Yetzer Hara that we're dealing with today may be a little more out of control because he's on death row, it's his last meal, so to speak, but the Yetzer Hara has to operate within the rules of whatever world he's operating within. Aval Adam, but a person, as we learned the other week, Nasa Adam, a person is made up of what? Made up of everything, made up of the entire Bria. A person is the heights of creation, which means a person could be also the most destructive. That's the double-edged sword. The Jewish people are compared, and Jews in particular. I'm not Chasham saying bad on Jews. I only say good about Jews. But the Jewish people, like the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled, are compared to the stars, are compared to the dirt. When we go up, we go to the highest. When we're low, we're mamish the lowest. Some of the most destructive things ever created on planet Earth were created by Jews. Whether it's ideas, or whether it's objects or scientific, you know, breakthroughs that could be used in a destructive way. Avala Adam hu klalius, a person is all-encompassing. Shekolu mikol ha'olamos, man is made up of all the worlds. And therefore he has more kalach than the Yetzirah, which means that if he doesn't use his kalach properly, he can wreak more havoc on the world than the Yetzirah can. Valkein menios shobanei Adam him yosum menios ha'yetzirah. Therefore sometimes dealing with a mania, a blockage that's caused by a person, is more than the blockage of the Yetzirah. Your Yitzhahara is going to tell you, don't go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. Right? But it's true. I mean, there's things in life, right? Like I was mentioning yesterday, that Sichus Musa that Rav Aryeh Leibowitz gave about going into Klei Kodesh, going into Chinuch or Rabbanis, or doing something that's Jewish communal work. Right? How many of us have been told by someone else that that's, you're not going to be able to pay your bills like that, you're not going to make a living like that, it's not realistic, it's not so, you're not good at it. It's hard. It's also going to tell you why you're not going to change the face of Jewry. But it may be a sibling, or it may be a spouse, or it may be a parent who puts that message in your head also. And that might be harder to overcome than pushing aside this sort of invisible force called the Yitzhahar. Okay? It's a very powerful little piece in Sichah Surah. Now, I want to just reference one other piece of Torah from Rabbi Nachman in a very famous Torah, Likutei Moharan, in Tinyana, in the second section, Torah Yud Beis. The Torah of Ayin Mekom Kavodo. And he starts as follows. He writes at the beginning, Kesha'odam holech achar sichlo v'chachvaso, yuchol lipol b'te'usim u'mechsholos rabim, v'lavo lidei ra'os gedolos. The real point that Rabbi Nachman is making here, it's not a perfect comparison, which is why we're just doing a couple lines of it. Right? The real point Rabbi Nachman is making is the danger of what? Of trying to see life through your own way of seeing things, through your own intellect, as opposed to having a pashtus, an emuna pshuta of doing ratzon Hashem. So look at the words again. When a person follows his seichel and his own chachma, and a person thinks, I understand how things work, how things should be, so he's able to what? Yuchal libol b'ta'usim v'cholos rabim. Your own mind can do such destructive things, could trick you, can make great errors, and stumble terribly. Ulavoli de roz gedolos chas v'sham. You can do all sorts of horrible things. A person has tremendous power. Our brains are very powerful. V'yesha kilklu harbe. And there are some people who cause real kilkul, real damage in this way. Kigon harishayim agadolim ma'udam mefursamim. Who's Rabbeinu talking about? Who's Rabbeinu talking about? The well-known Risham Gedolim. Risham Gedolim who are mefursam, who are well-known. Who's he talking about? Nope. Could be. Who's he talking about? Who's Rabbi Nachman talking about? Who's he talking about? Maybe he's talking about people who created their own religions. Maybe he's talking about a Jew who created his own religion. Right? Again, whatever the history of Christianity is. Right? Maybe he's talking about Yeshu, Hanoitzri. Maybe he's talking about Yashka. Right? Warped ideas, a New Testament. Right? Created a whole movement, a whole new religion. Risham Gedolim, Odom for Summit. Maybe he's talking about the creator of Islam. He's talking about people who not only created, you know, social movements, but people who tried to rewrite the script on who's God and what's what. Shehitu as ha'olam. Right? Again, from a more modern view. viewpoint, you could say Hitler Machshmo. Obviously, that's after Rabbi Nachman, right? But someone who, with their charisma and with their ideas, their warped ideas, that somehow Jews are the root of all evil in the world, you could destroy, you could cause wars. And it's all because of their way of seeing things. And therefore, says Rabbi Nachman, the Iker Hayadus, a famous line, the Iker Hayadus, the essence of Judaism according to Rabbeinu is what? Rak Lelech Besmimus Upshitos, to serve Hashem with wholesomeness and simplicity. Belishum Chachmos, not to be a uber Chacham. Ulestaka Bechol Davar Shaoseh Shiyesh Sham Hashem Yizbach, and to include a Kadosh Baruch Hu in all that you do, not to be smarter than God. Okay? Yeah. You want to say something? Did you hand up? No? Oh, I thought you did. Okay. Okay? But again, it's the same idea. It's that awareness, which we spoke about again last week, a Nasa Adam, how a person could be the most destructive animal in the world. And therefore, the same way that a person gets to know his Yetzer Hara over the course of his life and he realizes, you know what? I know how my Yetzer Hara operates. I know in which environment, in which situation the Yetzer Hara gets me into trouble. I also have to learn which people are good to be around. What type of chevra do I want to associate with? It's a big deal. Having the right friends and having the right, you know, the right people in your life. Right? To whatever degree we're able to choose that. It may play out in terms of, I spoke to a guy called me on Friday. He has a couple of job offers that he's considering. He works, but he's looking to do something different. He has two different job offers. And in talking, you know, it was clear to me, or it seemed to me, I shouldn't say it was clear, it seemed to me that one of them would be spiritually better. Hard to say exactly, but from the hours and from the location and from the people involved, it seemed like it would be spiritually better. So I said to him, after he presented both things, I said, what's my question going to be? I said, what's my first question going to be? He's like, I don't know. I was like, no, come on, you know. He's like, what does my wife say? I was like, exactly, what does your wife say? So he's like, oh, she likes this. And I was like, okay, what's my second question going to be? What do I say? Right? So what do you say? What do you think? So I said, well, first of all, if your wife says it, obviously that's what you should do. But like, let's talk it out a little more. And he also felt that was it. And I said, I truly think, even though the other one may be a little bit of a nicer opportunity, but it matters. Who you surround yourself with makes a difference in your life. And you have to realize there are people in your life who could be much more destructive to your spiritual goals and aspirations than the Yetzer Hara. And knowing that's a big thing. Everyone knows the Yetzer Hara is out to get me. But do I realize that my friend who claims to be my good buddy is also, not in a malicious way, but maybe in a seductive way, lahasis, right? Pulls me into things that I shouldn't be involved in. Avi, what did you want to say?
So I'm not sure if you just answered the question.
Yeah, what does Rabbi Nachman mean with the tmimus and the pshitas, and not to overcomplicate things? What do you think?
It almost sounds like he's saying not to ask questions, but I'm assuming that's not what he's
right. It's not just about not asking questions, right? And obviously, Rabbi Nachman wants us to use our brains. He certainly used his brain. He's an absolute genius, a new kol tar kula. So it's not like, you know, it's not the muna pshuta that means that I don't have to learn shas. Rabbi Nachman knew shas. Rabbi Nachman was obsessed with learning Shulchan Aruch. We learned the piece about Rabbi Nachman, right? I used to learn and learn and learn and learn. So it wasn't that his brain was checked out. Oh, Muna Pshuta. It's obviously, Muna Pshuta has to be also a deep thing. But not to cause, you know, my own man-made ideas, Kochi Votzim Yadi. When my own ideas and my own way of doing things, when I hit that conflict, and it's like this internal compass that kind of just knows what Hashem wants and is pointing me in a certain direction. But my mind's like, yeah, but what about... And I'm becoming all mububal in my head. And I'm using all sorts of chachma, all sorts of understanding or how I think things could be or should be to kind of override that what my neshama is telling me. My neshama is the chelek alokavi ma'al. It's a piece of Hashem inside of me. So don't become convoluted in your thinking. Again, yeah, please. Chavod. Yehuda. We're actually going to quote a Yehuda today.
Probably the one I made after.
Probably.
Which one?
So a person, Klausenberg Rebbe.
Okay.
A person becomes all, you know, you make yourself crazy with these things. Right? Instead of trusting in a wholesome and spiritually question yourself every time before you act, and it's the easiest question and the hardest question to ask yourself, does this bring Kvod Shemayim? Does this make Hashem happy? Maybe it's another way to say it. Is this Ratzon Hashem? It's such an easy question. It's such an easy question, and it's so hard to answer it honestly. Because if I really, every move I made was just, doesn't make Hashem happy. Hashem understands my context, right? Hashem understands why I have to go to my classes and why I have to do my homework. Hashem's not anti that. Right? But at a certain point, I have to say, do I really need this? Does this advance my mission statement? Does this bring Kvod Shemayim? And the answer is obvious. But then we say, well, yeah, but what about... Right? That's where we become Mububal, and that's where we end up destroying the world. And the world could be ourselves. It doesn't have to be the world. It could be our world. Yes, Gedalia Aaron.
I think we're taking this only one-sided.
That's here.
I think that we should also look at it from the aspect of being the influencers, like being the people who
Right, we're talking about not getting messed up by someone else, but
right, like Chazal Shalom, like even if someone has like a different mahalas or whatever, like don't turn them away right. from learning what
That's
they want.
That's a great point. Learn. That's a great point. Right, it's a very important point. Right, we're learning this. Watch out for those people who are trying to get you. Right. But Jack says, but also don't be the guy who gets someone else. Right? And don't turn someone away from their derech and avodas Hashem by becoming holier than thou or cynical towards their approach. Yeah, yeah, that's al tirgazu baderech. Right? It says when the brothers and Yosef are back and forth, Yaakov says al tirgazu baderech. Yosef says to them, Yosef says on the way back to Yaakov, al tirgazu baderech. Don't become agitated on the road. Pashup shot, he's saying, don't get into a fight, blame each other, whose fault is it for selling me? Right? But Altir Gazuba Derech, the Divrei Yisrael, the Majid Sarevi, talks about not to become agitated by someone else's Derech in Avodas Hashem. It's a beautiful piece of Torah, Altir Gazuba Derech. And let's on, other people have different ways of seeing things also, so give people space to live their lives. Okay? But I have to show you something which is Gavaldic. It's really great. When Yosef, going back to Yosef for a second, and a good segue. When Yosef HaTzadik is receiving the wrath of his brothers, and he starts to, in Parshas Vayeshev, he starts coming towards them, and like, oh, look, the Baal HaChalomos is coming. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. Let's kill him and throw his body into one of these pits. And we can say that a wild animal ate him, and we'll see what becomes of his dreams. And of course, the famous words of the Torah in source number 3, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayishma Reuven V'Yatzilehu V'Yadam. And Reuven came and he saved Yosef HaTzadik. Lo na kenu nefesh, don't strike him mortally, don't kill him. What should we do? I have a better idea. Al tishpachu dam, place him in one of these pits in the middle of the midbar, and don't kill him. Now Reuven's plan, of course, was what? After nightfall, he was going to come back. He was going to save Yosef. But don't kill him directly. Don't put a bullet in his head and throw him into the pit. Lo aleinu. Just put him in the pit. Right? And Yosef arrives, and they strip him out of his garment. Pasuk chav dalid. They take him, they place him in the pit, throw him into the pit. They throw him in. And of course, you remember the Gemara, or probably more you remember the Rashi. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Beis. Rashi says, if the pit is empty, obviously there's no water. Rashi says, true, there's no water. In source number 4, Rashi says, but there are snakes and scorpions. However, the question is twofold. Number one, Vayishma Reuven V'Yatzileu Miyadam. Did Reuven really save Yosef? He didn't come back to save him from the pit. Yosef went through horrific suffering in Mitzrayim. Now, I guess in a bigger picture sense, he did save Yosef because Yosef lives to tell the tale, right? He suffers a lot for the next many years, for the next decades, but eventually it works out okay. So I guess by telling them not to to stab Yosef or to shoot Yosef or to kill Yosef on the spot, he, I guess in a broader sense, saved Yosef. But more than that, placing him in a pit with snakes and scorpions, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos the following, Tanu Rabbanan, Nafal Legov Arayos Ein Me'idin Alav. Let's say you have a situation where we're not sure if a person is alive. Very scary thought. After 9/11, that was a big, very complicated sugya, right? What if you don't find the body? Lo aleinu. So what happens? Can the woman remarry? Assumption is, what do you mean? My husband was in the whatever floor of the towers. Right? No one survived. Right? But how do you know? How do you know? Do we know for sure? If we don't ID a body, how do we know for sure? So a woman could get stuck like that as an aguna, never be able to remarry. Very complex shilas of a person who goes missing. Right? You have many... tshuvas throughout history. Someone goes on business overseas and disappears. Right? Someone goes to the battlefield, goes to war. Not sure what happened to them. Their wife could be stuck forever. Not to be choshesh that her husband's maybe alive. Woman can't be married to two men. What do you do? Right? What do you do? David HaMelech used to have his soldiers write divorce documents al tanai when they went out to battle. In case anyone disappeared, we could at least retroactively, halachically divorce the woman and allow her to move on with her life. So what happens if a person falls? Nafal legov arayos ein me'idin alav. Let's say someone says, I saw that he fell into a lion's den. Is he definitely dead? Ein me'idin alav. We cannot testify for sure that he's dead. Right. Daniel survived the lion's den. The story of the Or Chaim HaKadosh survived the lion's den. Right. Maybe this person has, I don't know, maybe the lions weren't hungry. Maybe this guy escaped. Maybe he's faking his death and he's running away with someone else. Who knows? So the fact that you saw him fall into a lion's den is not a guarantee that he's dead. But lechafura malaya nechoshim v'akravim me'idin alav. But if you see someone fall into a pit of snakes and scorpions, vada, he's dead. For sure he's dead. There's no way he could survive that. He's going to be attacked, and he's going to be poisoned, he's going to be stung, he's going to die. Right? You didn't see him die, you didn't see him breathe his final breath, but you could testify, we would accept in a Jewish court of law, that this guy is dead. So how did Reuven save Yosef by putting him into a pit of snakes and scorpions? It's a little slower and probably more painful of a death than what? Than chopping off Yosef's head and putting a bullet through his body. But how is this called saving Yosef? How is this called saving Yosef? Instead of dying at the brother's hands, so he's going to die indirectly through the snakes and scorpions? That's not saving Yosef. Maybe it's getting a little less blood on their hands. How is that called saving Yosef? So I told you there's this beautiful two-volume set that Rabbi Shlomo Katz from Eretz Yisrael, he wrote up the shiurim, the classes of Tzvi Arye Rosenfeld on Sichas Haran. Again, one of the unique teachers of Breslov in America. In the in the previous set, it's written. It's not based on the shiurim. It's really almost like a transcription of how he said it. I just love the way he said this. I thought this is so geschmack. Right? Look what he says. The answer is that Reuven said. He didn't quote this Gemara in Yevamos, but he said, "How did Reuven save him? I don't understand how. Why is this called saving Yosef? He didn't save Yosef. The answer is that Reuven said, "I know what is written in the Sichos Haran. I just love that line." Reuven, right? Slightly, what's that called? Anachronistic, is that the word?
Yeah, that's right.
Anachronistic, out of time sequence, right? So Reuven ben Yaakov, yeah? Reuven, the Shvatim, you heard of him? Reuven said, I know what's written in Sichos Haran. I know what Rabbeinu Zal said, that the worst enemy of a person is another human being. Reuven said, You know what's scarier than the Yitzhara? You know what's scarier than snakes and scorpions? People who get crazy ideas in their head. People who want to cause destruction to another person. Therefore, if I rescue Yosef HaTzadik from his brothers, no matter where I put him, he's better off. Because an angel is less destructive than a person. The Yitzhara is less destructive than a person. That's what we're learning today. A person could be saved from an angel, and Yosef HaTzadik could be saved through his goodness, through his purity, through his holiness as a tzadik. He could be saved by a miracle from snakes and scorpions, but nothing can save him from these humans, his brothers, who will destroy. We're talking about the Shvatim. But that's how scary it is when a person is in the wrong environment with a human being who has an evil idea. You could lose everything. Therefore, Reuven said, I would rather risk his life in a pit of snakes than hand him over to his brothers, to the mercy of his brothers who are intent on killing. That's unbelievably powerful. And it's just a strong way to say it. But that's what Rabbi Nachman is teaching us today. There's something more scary if you're not guarded in this world than your Yetzirah. And that is negative influences, human beings with evil intent. Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure that Hazakana takes Reuven's idea as him making the wrong move.
What do you mean?
That, obviously what Yehuda did was much more of a good thing for Yosef than what Reuven did. Reuven made sure that he wouldn't die, that he only killed.
So, again, the Torah doesn't testify that Yehuda's intentions were pure. Yehuda's, the way the Torah presented is, you know, why not make some cash off of this? As the Torah says. Why shouldn't we monetize this opportunity? That's what Yehuda says. The Torah says about Reuven, Vayishma Reuven v'atzileim yadam. Those are God's words, not our words. Right? I agree, on a certain level, Yehuda, in a sense, saved him more. Right? Again, the tzaddik would have had the protection from snakes and scorpions, which under normal circumstances, the Gemara Yevamos is telling us is a guarantee of death. Right. Right. So maybe that's part of the answer, right? I mean, even though Yehuda is handing him over to human beings, that's scarier than being in a pit of snakes and scorpions. That's worse than being in a pit of snakes and scorpions. Being in a caravan of Yishmaelim that are taking you to Mitzrayim. I guess so. Okay. On Sunday we learned about Avram's friends. It's a good opportunity. I always like to connect to the Parshios. So Avram had three friends, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. And Aner and Eshkol did not give him good advice, and Mamre gave him good advice. And if you remember, we asked the question, so why is it that Avram's asking advice about Bris Milah? No, Rebbe Ephraim, why would Avram ask advice about Bris Milah? Hashem told him, do Bris Milah. He might ask around. So the Chizkuni, in the 13th century, the Chizkuni has a beautiful pshat, Chumash. The Chizkuni says, you know what Avram was asking? He wasn't asking if he's going to do it. Of course he was going to do it. All right, he asked the same question that all the Rishonim asked. How could it be that Avram had a suffix if he's going to do it? He says, two lines from the bottom, source 7, Eliyesh lanu lomar, bevade Avram lo tola daito bedas acherim. Lasos ritzon boro. Of course Avram's going to do what Hashem told him to do. He's not asking, should I do or shouldn't I do? Ach bedaito hayalishkol datam shol aner eshkubu mamre. What Avram was doing was he was checking his buddies to see, are these good friends for me? I want to know how they think. I want to know, when God tells me to do something that's difficult, are my friends going to be supportive of that? Or are my friends going to say, make excuses for me? He was testing. He was testing the resolve. He was testing the commitment of his friends. V'lo matza behem yoshar, or yoshar, rak b'mamre. And the only one he found that is a true friend was Mamre. So you have to sometimes, you know, reassess your friendships. Reassess the people that you're associated with. Don't just take it, oh yeah, we've been friends for a long time, so it makes sense. Your success in this world is going to so much depend. I hate to say that. We like to think, I can think for myself. That was the whole point. That's what Rav Gifter was saying about his two uncles having that conversation. When one of them said to the other, yeah, America doesn't have a hashpanah. So the other one said, yes, it does, and the fact that you don't realize that is a problem. You have to think about that. There's a Gaval de Gavart. They say it from different tzaddikim. The Rizhner said it. I've seen it, I've heard it in the name of other tzaddikim also. I'm not sure who exactly to attribute it to. But the Gemara says in Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis, the bottom source on the first side of the page, Osa hu saba tonolei, an elder came and he taught, Kol agadol michavero yitzro gadol himenu. You've heard this line before? Anyone who's what? Kol agadol michavero, anyone who's greater than his friend, the bigger a Jew you are, the bigger your Yetzahar is. You've heard this idea before? Kol agadol michavero yitzro gadol himenu. So some of the tzaddikim read it like this. Kol ha-gadol, to whatever degree that you're a big person in this world, it's mechavero. It's from your friends. Yitzro gadol, if your yitzhar is big, mimenu, that's from you. You hear? You see how to read it? Kol ha-gadol, to whatever degree that you're a big person, that's mechavero. Oh, actually, has a source for us. Yeah, who'd you hear it from? What? Oh, okay. What do you want to say?
I once heard it.
But you hear that when he was the Vark? Call a gadol, to whatever degree you're a gadol, that's mechavero. That's, don't take the credit for yourself. That's my chavrusa, that's my roommate. Right? That's the chevron maishir who helped me to be a better Jew, inspire me to want to continue to grow. But yitzro gadol, when I have a big guitar, don't point fingers at your friend. That's me, man. That comes from within yourself. Yeah.
I once heard that if you globalize your reading, I become part of Kofit Hashem from my reading because of my friends.
Very nice. Say it again. What's the line?
B'krov
elai mirayim. B'krov elai mirayim. I come close to Hashem from my reyim, from my friends. Very nice.
Jonah Waldman.
That's a Jonah Waldman original?
Yeah.
It's good chidush from Jonah. Okay. Because he has a good Rebbe also, Rav Davidov. Yeah.
Isn't the point made in that story before that how he said that America doesn't have influence on
So isn't that like the opposite of what it's saying here? If you read it like that, because you say that
right. Right, right. They're both true. They're both true. I think they're both true. I mean, it's easy to point fingers and make excuses and say, yeah, the reason in my life, you know, I could have been a big tzaddik, but everything else is my fault. You know, so but that's part of the achrayus we're learning about today. The achrayus is that you have to surround yourself with the right people. And then, from the perspective of humility, don't take all the credit and say, oh, I became so great, you know, despite my friends. No, I became great because I had Baruch Hashem. I surrounded myself. I made good choices. Made good friends. Right? But my Yetzirah, again, Rabbi Nachman is correct. Yes, sometimes your friends drag you down, but don't make that excuse. Don't set yourself up to make that excuse. Just make better choices. And connect yourself to better people. Yeah?
I recently saw a collection of tweets from someone, I forgot who it was.
Okay. Yeah, you sent me something. I don't know if I saw it.
Sure. It was about how your colleagues or your friends, like whatever group you surround yourself with, their desires become your desires.
Interesting.
And how, like...
By association.
Right. And when, like, you see, like, all... They say, like, in the corporate world, and all your friends just got Teslas, so then you're thinking, like, ooh, like, I should get a Tesla.
Right.
Like, you're not thinking like that, like, surrounded by a bunch of, like, truck drivers.
Right. In our world. So the things that other people desire end up, you know, very slowly becoming your desires, right?
And it's very subtle.
Yeah, it is. That's a pretty intense thing. And it's true. We all know it's true. We all know it's true. Okay, Chaim, I'll tell you a story about the Klausenberger Rebbe, Yekusil Yehuda. It's found in the Tolna Rebbe's writings on Chumash. I'll just tell you the story outside. It's in source number 9 for those who like to see things. You'll be able to read it at your own... at your own leisure. But at the end of World War II, so there were Jews who, Baruch Hashem, did survive the war, and the Sridei Eish, the author of the Sefer Sridei Eish, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, was brought to give to the DP camps to give shiurim, to try to be mechazik people. People were very broken, they had a lot of questions, and there was a lot of pain. So he was a brilliant teacher, and a great Jewish philosopher, in addition to a halachist. So the Sridei Eish was brought to talk to Jews, to speak to them, to educate them, to talk about Inyan Emunah, to teach Ramchal, and to teach Maharal, and to teach the Rambam, and to teach, you know, Jewish philosophy, to try to restore people's faith. And he found that people weren't interested. And he gave brilliant, the Sridei Eish was a giant, amazing person. I read his biography, he's an unbelievable person, and a broad person, a very interesting person. Very relatable. And people just, they didn't want to hear it. He couldn't get a crowd. He couldn't get people to... And he had good stuff. He had deep answers, you know. If you have questions, he was a person you could sit and talk to. And it just wasn't going. The area that he was placed, it wasn't going. But he heard that in the neighboring DP camp, he heard there were Jews who were coming back and maintaining their faith. That their emunah was somehow intact. And there were minyanim, and there were people getting into it and getting, you know, getting spiritually reconnected. And he was wondering, like, what's... That was the word on the street. He was wondering what's going on over there. So he heard there's a Yid over there who's like, you know, shaking things up. So he said, who is it? Huh? It's the Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe, who has himself lost Ayum Venora, he had lost his whole family. He had lost more than 10 children. He lost his wife. Crazy what he went through, the suffering, the physical abuse that he went through. And his Mesiras Nefesh during the war is beyond. And the Klausenberger Rebbe, he's with the people, and somehow he's getting people into it. And Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, he can't understand. So just look at the last column in source number 9. He comes to the Klausenberger Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, I don't get it. Like, what's your secret? You know? What are you doing? Like, what's the secret spice? What are you doing to get people into it? He bid bo HaRebbe miKlausenberg va'amrlo. HaRav Weinberg, he says to him, Rav Weinberg, you've forgotten an explicit Gemara. Ein hasasa bidvarim. There's no hasasa. There's no seduction here. There's no tricks. I'm not doing anything tricky. I'm doing something very simple that people need to believe in. More important, and I know this is going to sound strong, but on a certain level, more important than who you learn with is who you forbring with. Who do you have lunch with? Who do you spend Shabbos with? More important than who you come to shiur with. Right? What we're doing here in shiur, we're trying to be better Jews. We're doing. So the point of being here. No? Daniel came all the way from Belgium. He came from Belgium to be able to be a better Jew. Right? That should inspire us. But more important than what happens when you're learning is what happens when you're what? When you're verbranging. Right? The Klausenberger Rebbe said, Kasher rotzim lahachlis amuna b'lev ha'am, when you want to put something into the heart of a Jew, yesh lilmor ha'derech mitalmidei Baal Shem Tov. How did the Baal Shem Tov get people into it? It wasn't. The Baal Shem Tov gave a daily Gemara shir. Baal Shem Tov gave a daily Gemara shir. As I state in Sfar. That's the Mesorah. Baal Shem Tov knew how to learn and give Gemara shir also. But that wasn't the derech, that wasn't the main focus in terms of Talmidei Baal Shem Tov to inspire Jews. When Jews sit together and Jews have, I don't know, pizza for lunch together. Right? When Jews get together and they hang out and they're talking and they're sitting on a Shabbos afternoon or they get together on a Friday night, right? Or they have whatever, they're just hanging out back in the apartment. Those are the moments that are going to define your Yiddishkeit. And it's in those moments, as the Gemara says, "Gedola lagima shemekareves eslevavos." Gemara doesn't say exactly that phrase. It's Gemara Sanhedrin, but "Gedola lagima," great is food, because it brings people closer together. The people you eat with, the people you hang out with, that's going to have a bigger hashpa on you than perhaps even the people you're in the base medrash with. It's an unbelievably powerful idea. And again, the Klausenberger Rebbe says there's no tricks, there's no secrets here. That's the Derech L'Baal Shem Tov, and that's what I'm doing, to restore people's faith after the Holocaust. By trying to let them feel connected to good people. Right? It's not just ideas. It's not just about connecting them to good ideas. It's being food in that DP camp at the time. It wasn't like he was, you know, winning them over by, I don't know, free Dougies on the poster, you know? Like, free sushi if you come to, you know, the special shir. It was more about the being together with those types of people. Pasuk says in Tehillim, it's verse number 10. Again, the danger of the hashpa of society. You'll mingle amongst the nations. And you will learn their behaviors. Notice that the pasuk doesn't say you will learn from their behaviors. It just says you'll learn their behaviors. So the Rebbe Reb Zusha is quoted in the Sefer Orach L'Chaim, as a student of the Maggid of Mezrich. His name was Rav Avraham Chaim of Zlatchev. So he quotes from the Rebbe Reb Zusha, who said that, yeah, that's exactly what the pasuk means. Vayis'arvu bagoyim. Chaver, listen. Vayis'arvu bagoyim. You'll mingle. You'll be amongst the people. You'll be amongst the nations. V'yilmedu ma'aseyim. And you'll learn their behaviors. Like David was just describing. You're not going to learn mi ma'aseyim. You're not my Rebbe. The street, what happens in the street, what it says in that billboard, you're not... I don't learn directly from you. I don't accept you as my Rebbe. But you know what? The hashpa is there automatically. He says it becomes in the air. It has a hashpa on a person. He writes in source number 11, right? You learn from their behaviors automatically. It happens automatically. He says in the right-hand column, two lines from the bottom, right? He says, Ha'avir male mizeh. The air just becomes filled with the ideas and the decisions people make. Umisha ein lo dvekas ba'ashem yisparach. If you don't stay connected to Hashem and to good chevra, u'misari b'gayim, simply by working in that environment, then automatically there's a klipa and it has a hashpana person. It's not v'yilmadu mi ma'aseyam. It's v'yilmadu ma'aseyam. Automatically. It's in the air. Right? It happens automatically. And therefore a person needs to be so, so careful and so, so guarded to make sure that what? That we're choosing the hashpa that we have in our life and it's not happening to us automatically. Let's go to the final source, Rabbeinu Bachaya. Rabbeinu Bachaya in Parshas Lech Lecha, his introduction to Parshas Lech Lecha, as Avraham distances himself from a family that is not for him, that is not a good family. Chazal say on the Pasuk, I think it's Pasuk's in Iyov, Mi yitein tahor mitame, who brings forth pure from impure? Right? The Medrash says, that's Avraham Avinu. He grew up in a house of complete idolatry, impurity, and somehow he becomes the ultimate Amuna person, Avraham Avinu. So look what Rabbeinu Bachaya writes in his Hakdama to Lech Lecha, the final source. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Holech es chachamim yacham. If you walk with smart people, with the wise, you'll become wise. V'roa ksilim yeroa. And if you get in with the ksilim, if you get in with the fools, then yeroa is like a lashon of like trua, like tkiya shofar, trua, a broken sound, you'll break apart. If you have the right crowd, you'll automatically, you'll be uplifted. If you're in the wrong crowd, you'll break apart. Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Yazir B'Pasek Zeh Ala Adam Lishtadlo B'Cheres HaChachamim U'Lisrachek Mecheres HaKsilim. Choose. Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of men, is telling us, choose your friends wisely. Attach yourself to Chachamim. Distance yourself from foolish people. V'Omer Holech Sheholech Achareyim Tamid U'Mischaber Aleyim. Just hang out with them. Just walk with them. You know how uplifted I am today that when I was finished photocopying on the sixth floor of Gluck and I was coming into the elevator to go back down to the third floor, and Rav Schechter came out of the elevator, and just saw Rav Schechter. First of all, he had COVID recently. Baruch Hashem, he looks great. Chasdei Hashem, he's fine. Right? But just to be able to say, oh, good morning, Rabbi, how are you? It's so good to see you. I'm happy that you're feeling better. It's a hashpana person. That's a real thing. Right? So just walking near a person. Walking near a person. You see a tzaddik walking down the street, you see one of the rashi walking down the street, just like trail behind, even if you're not, you know, confident enough to go over and to ask Rav Schechter a question. Just walk near him. Holech, that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, walk near him. And automatically, it'll be a hashpa. Right? Holech achareyim tamid, u'mischaber aleim, v'osa atmo tof aleim. Just trail behind. V'nosein asam alav alufim l'rosh. And make them the important people in your life. And you'll see, it'll have a tremendous hashpa on you. It's a very powerful thing. And then he says, look what he writes. He writes, right after you see about six lines from the end, the line that begins, Holech es chachamim, v'hine Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom ratzel l'kayim inyan ha-torah v'avoda. Avram Avinu is the greatest example of choosing to distance yourself from negative influences. That was the first test, at least according to those who say Lech Lecha is the first test. Avram Avinu wants a life of Torah v'avoda. And Avram lived such a life, as the Gemara says about him, that Kiyim Avram Avinu afilu eruve tavshilin. Avram kept all the mitzvahs, even erev tavshilin. V'hutzrach lihizar mecheves anche dora harishon. Shayasibo lebitl habechira. And yet Avram Avinu kept everything, still needs to get into a better environment. Why? So my parents aren't from, my society's not from, so I'll be from. No, it's not going to work. Avram, who kept Kol HaTorah Kula, still needs to distance himself from those negative influences. And look where it's bolded. Va'al yislachlech imahem. And not to become what? What's lichluch?
Dirty.
You know what Rabbeinu Bechaya says? You know what lechlecha me'artzecha means? Nice pshat, no? Lechlecha me'artzecha means what? Distance yourself from the lichluch of your life. Like we were learning yesterday, you got to bring the dirt up to the surface to skim it off. Go to a different place. Avram, find a different place for yourself. In the last line, Hisrachik mehem va'al tislachlech imahem. And that's what it means, lech lecha. It doesn't mean just means lech lecha, go. Go for yourself, go to yourself. Lech lecha. Acknowledge, recognize that this is a lech lech for you. This is going to hold you back, Avram. This is not the right chever for you. So I want to give us a bracha. We should find the right people to surround ourselves with. I want to end with just telling you a vart from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said in his parish on Pirkei Avos, think about where Mashiach comes from. Who does Mashiach come from? Right, David, Rus. Right? When Rus chose to stay with Naomi, why did she stay with Naomi? Seems like a horrible investment, no? Ever since she teamed up with Naomi, things have been getting... Rus was a princess. Rus was a non-Jewish princess. Who ends up marrying this Jewish guy? She teams up with the Jews. The Jews are suffering. Her husband dies. Her family's falling apart. She's with her bitter mother-in-law. All right, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Yeah? And Rus is like, I'm in. You sure you're in? I'm all in. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lie, I'll lie. Where you die, I'll die. Your ways are my ways. Your people are my people. I'm all in. Arpa says, like, I'm in. Naomi's like, really? You're in? She's like, no, actually, I'm out. Okay. Give her a kiss goodbye. Kultuv. Rus says, I'm in. I'm 100% in. And the truth is, you read the Pesukim in Rus, and you don't see Naomi being like so... Well, yeah. One is called Chinuch, and one is called Hashpa. Very deep Torah. Yaakov says, Chinuch is sort of the direct, you know, the direct teaching, right? Sort of the specific type of message that's being shared, and it's shared overtly. It's Rabbi Nachman indoctrinating us every morning from, you know, 9:15 or 9:30 to 10:15 with his ideas. We're directly receiving a message from Rabbi Nachman. He's saying, live like this, don't live like that. But then there's something called hashpah. What is hashpah? A good example on a rainy day like today. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, like a roof that is, right, that is meshupa, means what? Slanted. And what happens when you put some water on that roof? What happens when it rains? So it trickles down, right? It rolls down the incline. There's a way of hashpa, right, that is much more subtle than what's overtly being stated. Yeah, here in our yeshiva, we were zocha, I mean, I think he's officially still our mashpia, our Weinberger. Right? We don't get to see him as much as we did in the good old days. Right? What does it mean to be a mashpia? A mashpia is not only a person. The hashpa of Weinberger on the world is not only the fact that he's given thousands and thousands and thousands of shiurim and all the Torah that he's taught, right? But it's when you're in the presence of that type of person, there's a hashpa. There's a hashpa. Indirectly, there's something that's being transmitted to you. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, from the fact that we don't see a lot of chinuch in Megillas Rus, we don't see Naomi directly telling Rus like this or like that, and yet Rus is like, with her sensitivity, because she has Mashiach inside of her, she's able to recognize that, you know what, it's kedai to stick it out over here. Naomi didn't say anything that was so, you know, like, encouraging per se. If anything, she's pushing Rus away. But Rus, because she was a deep person, because she was spiritually connected, she sensed, I have to stick it out. And by sticking it out, of course, we know the end of the story, right? She becomes the lion, the mother, eventually of David HaMelech, eventually of Mashiach. So learning how to surround yourself by people who are obviously good for you, and surround yourself and connect yourself to people who have this indirect hashba, like Rebbeinu Bechai is talking about, trailing behind Chachamim to just pick up a little bit of their dust, like it says in Pirkei Avos, to sit in the dust of the feet of the sages, has a tremendous hashpa on a person that makes a big difference in our life. So I give us a bracha, we should be zocha to surround ourselves with good people and to be mindful of this. Again, Yetzirah is for sure an enemy, at least on the surface, of every one of us. Right? But we have to be careful. There are people in the world who could be damaging to us, and we have to know that. And like Jack said, such an important point before, we have to realize we shouldn't, God forbid, become those people who stop other people from achieving their own greatness in this world. Okay? Okay, thank you, Rabbi Nachman, for teaching us. We're appreciative of your chinuch and your hashpa. No? Any thoughts?